Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Well, the details continue to come out of Santa Fe, Texas, southeast of Houston, near Galveston, near the Gulf Coast. And the details are not getting any better, Pamela.
No, we had police earlier today tell us between 8 and 10 people were shot and killed at the Santa Fe High School. Different media outlets are changing those numbers, but we don't have anything confirmed yet from police themselves, so we'll keep it between the 8 and 10. We're also hearing that the suspect is in custody and a second person has been detained, a person of interest. CNN is reporting that that second person is a possible accomplice. So that's something that we are continuing to follow right now.
But could be somebody that knew about it and didn't do something about it as well.
We also know that explosives were found on campus, but not only on campus, but there was a second investigative scene that was taking place at a home. I heard it described as like a trailer, not far from school. Now, the relationship between what happened at the school and the trailer, I'm sure you could make some jumps as to what's going on there, but police have not given us any information on that right now. What we do know is that one officer was shot. Now, that officer is from the Santa Fe Independent School District Police Force. Yes, you heard that correct. This school district in Texas has their own police force, like ASU has their own
like
police force.
Campus law enforcement.
Most school resource officers that I know of, at least in my daughter's district, come from the local police department.
Sheriffs, police,
yeah,
et cetera.
Exactly.
They're kind of stationed on campus.
They're not part of a campus police detail.
That is interesting and interesting information.
And that officer, from what we can gather, has been in surgery this morning. He had been shot. We have not gotten an update on his condition as of yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that in of itself is a school district that I could make an argument takes safety or security seriously enough that we went and looked it up. Pamela looked it up. They have, is it six officers, I want to say, for three schools? And obviously, they're probably not all working at the same time, but that they have a small police force for their elementary, junior high, and high school there in Santa Fe, Texas. The question is, are they armed? I would assume that they are armed. That is an assumption I am making. I can't imagine a school resource officer in this day and age not being armed, but we do know that that officer was injured, and according to the hospital was injured seriously.
Now, we are finding out that the suspected shooter in this case has been identified. He is a 17-year-old student at the school. We are going to start learning more about him, and I would just say a matter of moments.
Yeah, pretty soon.
But this individual recently posted a photo on social media wearing a t-shirt that said Born to Kill.
Oh, great.
And the caption on his Instagram said, "We all die sometime." Now, that in and of itself screams disturbed, but doesn't scream school shooter.
School shooter, right.
What is going to be interesting to find out in the day, well, hours and days and in weeks to come, is who knew what and when, because...
And could somebody have done something?
And you better believe that students at that school, Bruce, they're all running this through their own filter of
sure.
What could I have done or should I have said something and, you know, why didn't I say something? If they, in fact, saw something. When I say saw something, I'm talking about social media because they are of a generation that shares everything. Yeah. And a lot of times, school shooters are very narcissistic. Look at me, look at me. And they brag to police officers about what they've done. They want the notoriety. That's why I'm not saying the guy's name. I'm not giving it to you. He's 17 years old and he's a student at the school. And so were there other warning signs leading up to this that were either missed or not fully addressed? We don't know.
Yeah. And again, this story keeps evolving and updating it. CNN and NBC are both reporting that the fatalities are 10, 9 students and 1 teacher, 2 law enforcement officers are among those injured and receiving treatment. At least 12 people have been hospitalized.
You know, we can sit here until we're blue in the face and give you the facts of the story in Santa Fe, Texas. We can also speculate as to why a student would do this. But I think it's important to take you to the campus of this high school. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. To me, this isn't an R versus D situation. This is about prioritizing human life and our children's lives and safety over anything else. And if you disagree, or even if you do agree, well, then just take a listen to what students who woke up this morning going to their last few weeks of school, maybe they had a final exam today because that's what happens this time of year.
End of the school year, yeah.
But instead, had this happen.
The alarm started going off. Everybody went outside and all the teachers are like, get this way, come over here, come over here. Next thing you know, we hear the booms and everybody just starts running. Everybody yelling, run, go, as fast as you can. You hear boom, 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 and I just ran as fast as I could to the nearest forest so I could hide, and I called my mom. It was just so chaotic. Everybody just started running wherever they could go.
That's a student.
It's a little girl. I was going to say she's a sophomore.
The story that's sticking with me this morning, beyond witnessing children crying because of what they either saw on campus or what they experienced, was that of a mom who has two daughters that go to Santa Fe High School. And mom got a call from one of her daughters saying that there is a school shooting. And I believe it has happened in my sister's classroom.
Ooh.
Mom tries to get in touch with said sister.
Of course.
And can't. And while I was watching the feed from KHOU, which is the Houston affiliate there down in Tucson, or excuse me, Texas in Houston, she goes, I don't know where my daughter's at. I don't know how to find her. I don't know if she dropped her cell phone and that's why I can't get in touch with her.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. And there were so many parents in that situation.
They heard three shots, and then I heard four more shots.
All the teachers are telling us to run, run, go.
I heard so many people saying that, like, it was gunshots and that, like, people were dead. And I was, like, shaking. My anxiety was bad.
Pray. That's what we need right now, guys. Just pray for our kids.
Because whoever did this is really selfish and cold-hearted. These are innocent people at our school.
If you would have heard what I heard this morning, the fear in my loved one's voice because of my son being in that classroom.
It's really scary. Really, really scary.
I think everyone okay.
It was very scary. My brother was in the classroom when it happened. We're still trying to get contact with him.
Nobody should have to go through this. Nobody should feel that pain. It hurts my heart to see this.
Not only did the shooter show up with a firearm of some sort, it's unclear exactly what he brought to that school, but police have confirmed that there were explosive devices of some sort, not only found at school, maybe trying to use them in this attack, but also at a residence, or we heard as a trailer somewhere near the school. I'm going to make the assumption where he was living at the time. And they're now describing some of these explosive devices like pressure cooker bombs. Where do you hear that? Remember from Boston Marathon?
Yeah. And where did we hear about explosives being used in the school shooting as well? Columbine. That was really the first. I know it's not the first in history, put it into the pop culture vernacular. Unfortunately, yes, that does exist.
Kind of went downhill from there.
Absolutely, it did. So, we're still waiting on some updates from the hospital about conditions. We know that several people were also transported to the hospital to their level one trauma center there that gets the worst of the worst.
Yeah, and obviously they listed some of their patients as critical, dealing with gunshot wounds. Again, I think a total of 12 people. Not all of those people, it has been confirmed, had gunshot injuries. You can imagine other injuries from the chaos going on. It's also been reported that the weapon used might have been a shotgun.
What does that say to you? I don't know what to think of that.
It's different from other shootings.
How so?
if you compare a shotgun to an AR-15.
Okay, I'm familiar with shotguns. I own. Okay, I'm not.
You can dispense a large amount of ammunition in a short period of time with an AR-15. It's a little harder with a shotgun.
Okay, so just.
And how many, your shotgun, how many shots do you have to get before you have to reload?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Two?
I was going to say, well, some people, if it's a break, you know, you got to have a break. Maybe six, you know, I mean, depending on the time. But it's hardly like you would see with either some of these pistols or rifles where you can add another magazine of ammunition to them relatively quickly. I know there, I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there that says, well, there's a shotgun you can do the same thing for. It's unclear at this point, but he obviously had some form of a firearm and explosive devices on campus.
My takeaway from that, I didn't quite know what you were getting at. I understand the amount of rounds, you know, I guess the amount of damage.
Well, because
so I get that.
The debate has been the AR-15 is a killing machine.
What the way I took it and what I take away from that, I think that shotguns are a lot more popular.
Sure.
Easily accessible. You know, Texas, they hunt a lot. I'm making very broad generalizations.
Easier to get a hold of a shotgun.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of places
would
have them.
And even if he didn't own one, I mean, the shooter's 17, you know, dad may have had one. Mom might have been in the home. Hey, you know what? You miss any part of the show, you got to get out of your car for any reason, our show or any others today as we update this story for you throughout the day. You never have to miss a thing. You can always find us on the KTAR News app. Download it. That's how I listen a lot. You can also listen to us streaming on KTAR.com or subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Brought to you this week by Iron Doors Arizona.
President Trump is making claims again. Claims as relevant as President Obama's birth certificate is fake and that his Trump Tower was tapped by President Obama. The latest? There was a mole. The FBI put a mole inside the campaign. What really was going on? We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Bigger than Watergate, Pamela. Donald Trump claiming there is a conspiracy out there. Bigger than Watergate involving his campaign and the FBI.
Yeah, he's claiming that it sounds to me like the president is saying he believes the FBI had a plant inside his campaign.
He believes a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, this to me is also along the lines of Obama had Trump Tower tapped. Remember
that? Yeah.
But that's how the president, he probably truly believes that.
I'm sure he believes
that's
it.
What he's heard. The reality of
the
situation
is
that it appears there was an individual within the Trump campaign who was hired by the Trump campaign, who was working on the Trump campaign, and that was their job. But while they were on the Trump campaign, they didn't like what they were seeing. They were concerned by what they were seeing.
And this person, unclear who it is, they have not been unmasked. President Trump and the Trumpians are trying to expose this FBI source. As opposed to the FBI planting someone inside the campaign, it appears that this person, like you said, working in their capacity in the campaign, became concerned and went to law enforcement, remained in the job, and provided information to the FBI during the campaign.
Not only during the campaign, but this individual is also apparently helping the FBI out on a couple of other
was known to them in some
well.
Way, shape, or form, had a relationship with them in some way, shape, or form. And this could also be part of, you know, there's so many little, this is like staring into the night sky and seeing stars. And we're starting to see like lines get drawn between them now and the constellations come out of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that a good analogy?
Yeah, go with
there's
it.
There's like a million stars in
just
the sky, right?
Go with it, buddy.
And you're starting to go, well, how would they have known about that? Oh, well, the FBI might have had somebody inside the Trump campaign feeding them information because they thought there were crimes being committed.
Yeah.
So the Trump campaign may not have known this. We hear that the person who the FBI source had a high-level security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
That probably narrows it down, obviously, to who it could have been, but it is unclear at this point who that person is and what specifically they felt was so concerning that they went to the FBI and said, I have concerns about what I'm either being asked to do or what I'm seeing inside this campaign.
We now have the president who has been reacting to this.
Now, one of the ways the Trump team has tried to cast doubt on the Mueller investigation is to claim that a spy was illegally planted inside the Trump campaign team during the election. President Trump's Twitter has been all over this in the last few days, including this morning, in which he writes, apparently the DOJ put a spy in the Trump campaign. This has never been done before, and by any means necessary, they are out to frame Donald Trump for crimes he didn't commit.
Now, how do you get framed if you didn't commit the crimes? And anyway, it's a bunch of nonsense. Obviously, the facts do not bear out what the president is tweeting. It's always a good rule of thumb that if he's tweeting about it, it's not true. And usually the opposite is true. So, you know, it is bigger than Watergate, possibly. But that would be because the crimes are bigger than Nixon committed in Watergate. We will find out. I don't know the answer.
We're still looking for some answers in the Santa Fe shooting that took place in Texas. This is a Santa Fe high school in Texas. 10, is that where we're at right now, Bruce?
9 students, 1 teacher.
Yeah, 10 people shot dead.
Reported another dozen in hospital.
Yeah, we're continuing to follow the developments for you coming out of Texas as yet another school shooting happens in this country.
Yeah, we'll give you all the latest information that we have and continue to get some of your reaction to it. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, one of the things, every time there's a school shooting, every time we have one or multiple fatalities, each one of them in and of itself a tragedy, life-altering. It has the effect of, and I could certainly make the argument of desensitizing us to some level. That's not a good thing by any stretch of imagination. But to say that people are shocked, if someone says they were shocked there was a school shooting today, I would only ask, what world have you been living in that this comes as a shock to you? Now, that's the adults in the room talking. How do the kids feel? I thought this was amazing. I just found this, Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the students at Santa Fe High School, okay? This is a young girl standing outside the school being asked about today's shooting.
Was there a part of you that was like, this isn't real, this would not happen in my school?
No, there wasn't.
Why so?
It's been happening everywhere. I've always kind of felt like eventually it was going to happen here too. So, I don't know. I wasn't surprised, I was just scared.
High school kids are no longer surprised or don't think a school shooting can happen. They actually think it can happen and are just scared when it does.
Think about that though. I mean, those are children. As adults, if you're afraid you're going to lose your job, all right, something that's going to have a profound impact on your life, right? The anxiety that is created in your body day in and day out has profound health impacts, and it can have an impact on your mental well-being as well. If we have a generation of children who are going to school every day and they don't have a fear of losing their job, they have a fear of not going home. Can you imagine the anxiety and the stress that that's putting on a group of the population that don't have the tools yet to really deal with that?
Well, how does that impact the learning process as well?
Good night.
You're in math class, English class, art class, but you got to keep one eye on the door because you think a shooter might come through the door?
Yeah, and
statistics be damned. The way kids feel is the way they feel. You know, if you're afraid of flying, I can tell you all the statistics. It doesn't matter. You're afraid of flying. And we have now a larger and increasing group of kids who are afraid of school, parents that are afraid of schools, because schools are continuing to be, and depending on which metric you want to use, are increasingly becoming targets for primarily disaffected, disconnected young men who have some sort of a grievance and want to harm people.
You know, Jordan Harb, a high school student here locally, who we had in this studio. This was all during the week leading up to the March for Our Lives. Remember that?
I remember that.
And I just kind of want to play some of the audio back for you, for our listeners who weren't there for that, and Jordan, what he had to say.
In my classrooms today, being with my peers, all I've heard all day is anger and shock and grief, because we're kids too, and we relate. I'm fearful of my life here in my classroom. I'm grieving for the 8 kids who are dead, and I'm angry because this is still happening.
Oh my gosh, like, I'm a mom. I have an 8-year-old. Now, granted, I am hoping that, like, this kind of news doesn't get to her. We don't watch the news in my house. I read everything, or I listen to it with headphones, because she's too young for this kind of stuff. But a lot of you listening right now have children that do hear about this or watch the news or read it, you know, on their cell phones or whatever it may be. I mean, they're afraid. Not all, but enough. Are you talking to them about it? If so, how?
How?
I mean,
how?
Like, I'm putting myself in that position as a mom. Like, how do you have that conversation? I had a very uncomfortable, weird conversation with my daughter following Stoneman Douglas.
Okay.
And it was because we had a security expert on, a guy that's worked for, like, the Secret Service and the FBI and all kinds of things. And he talked about teaching students run, hide, fight.
Mm.
And I said, okay, yeah, but, you know, at what age do you teach them that? And he goes, now. I said, I got an 8-year-old. He goes, teach it to her. I said, seriously, I got to be teaching my 8-year-old run, hide, fight? And no joke, Bruce, this took place in the car driving home from school. And then it escalated and we had more of a conversation at the dinner table. Where would you run? Where would you hide? How would you fight? I mean, as parents have to have these conversations, but how?
It's heartbreaking to even think about, Pamela.
Summer is almost here.
But look at Sandy Hook. Should you be having that conversation with kindergartners? What do you tell a class of kindergartners?
Oh.
What to do when a bad man shows up? How do you give your child the best possible chance of survival? And an entire generation now growing up having to have that conversation with children where it was never part of the discussion.
Sergio is a listener of ours, and he chimes in a bunch. And I like it. I like hearing from Sergio.
I hear a lot from Sergio.
And Sergio brought something up that you and I had actually talked about this morning a little bit. And he said, I hate to say it, but there needs to be a different alarm for school shootings in progress in every school in the United States. We have a fire alarm. That sounds one way. But a school shooter, has to be a different sound.
Like a different ring on your phone, you'd have a different alarm.
Sergio went on to say this, though.
Okay.
We have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And my wife is deathly scared to put our kids in public school and would rather homeschool our children.
Rather homeschool the kids out of fear of sending them to a public school. I don't mean public, you know, public charter, private, whatever. A open area where they could potentially become victims to a school shooting.
The end of the school year. I mean, that's where we are right now. Graduation was supposed to be taking place soon here at Santa Fe High School there in Texas. And the end of the school year, you wanted to get out of school. Why did we want to get out of school? No more exams. No more homework. No more teachers. Freedom.
Freedom.
You've got a lot of these students that I'm hearing here, you know, want to get out of school because then I'll be safe.
Yeah. Well, I won't be a target. I feel like I'm a target at school.
Whew, man.
Everything should be on the table.
I'm not ready for this.
I just would say, who's shocked by it? And that's maybe the saddest part about it is that we aren't shocked by it. Might be one of the reasons, especially today. You need to have your faith in humanity restored. Tall order, Pamela.
I don't know if I can do it, buddy.
I believe you're up to it.
It's
coming up next here on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Pamela and I have the pleasure and the honor of working with Children's Cancer Network from time to time. Pamela and they got an event coming up tomorrow. Bald is beautiful. That's right. From noon to 5, the United Phoenix Firefighters Charities and the Children's Cancer Network are going to be at CASA in Tempe. They got lunch, snack, beer. They're going to be doing some things along there. Bald is Beautiful, raising money to support Children's Cancer Network. Thanks a lot to the United Phoenix Firefighters Charities and CCN for the amazing work they do. Again, at CASA in Tempe tomorrow, noon to 5. You can show up and support an amazing organization. And listen, we are reacting to, dealing with, like many of you, trying to digest the information coming out of Santa Fe, Texas, where we have had, yes, another school shooting. Yes, there are many fatalities. There are families dealing with unspeakable pain and sorrow as we speak right now. We know there are people at the Level 1 Trauma Center there in town fighting for their lives. We know that two law enforcement officers were injured. We heard one of them serious and or critical, school resource officer who was there. And the details of this are going to continue to come out. A 17-year-old student, male student, shows up at school with at least one gun and we're told some forms of explosives. It's unclear whether the explosives went off or worked, but that he had them on him.
I haven't heard of any explosions having taken place. I thought they were trying to render them useless at one point in time, having cleared the campus.
Yeah.
We do know that there was a second investigative scene just a couple of miles from that high school at a trailer where they reportedly found more explosives.
Probably
the relationship between the two scenes, was it the shooter's home? Not quite clear yet. But the shooter has been identified. He's a 17-year-old boy that attended the high school. We do have his name. Not going to share it with you.
Yeah.
Couldn't pronounce it anyway if I needed to. And what's going to happen in the hours from this point on, what you're going to hear tonight and what you're going to hear tomorrow is diving into his past. People are going to scour his social media. It's already happening right now. What was he wearing? What did he say? Who did he follow? What did he do? And try to
forensically go back.
Yeah, and try to garner some information from
pretty standard.
The social media posts that are out there, and there are some details that are surfacing right now that are suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the items that he has posed with, some Nazi regalia, some statements that he had made online.
A troubled online presence.
And that's what's going to happen is you're going to have not only law enforcement go back and try to, as you put it, forensically put this together, but you're going to have the community do the same.
Yeah.
You're going to have every student in that school do the same thing. And teachers, what did we miss? What could we have done? What if?
I thought this was interesting. I read this just online, a Facebook friend. I'm going to take my daughter to the gun range to show her what it sounds like. So if she does hear gunfire, she can identify it and know what it is and not assume that they know. I mean, think about that, having to come to that point with your child
smart,
in school. I can't argue.
Sad.
I think it's a smart idea.
But smart.
Yeah. One of the reasons why, though, and today is one of those days where you think we might be going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah, and on days like today, it's kind of hard to do so. What I try to do when we're dealing with a sensitive topic, one that touches so many people, like a school shooting, we got to give you the facts of it. That's our job. But I also, in the hours that ensue afterwards, I try to take my lead off of Mr. Rogers. And while that may sound weird for some folks, let me have him explain what I'm talking about here.
Always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, even just on the sidelines. If you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
That's what his mom would tell him. His mom would tell him when something bad happens, always look for the helpers. They may not be evident, but they're always there, and that gives you hope. And so I want to share with you a story of one of those helpers. It's one of the first that we've gotten so far coming out of Santa Fe High School there in Texas. Take a listen.
Zach, you were in a classroom near where this happened?
Yeah, about at least two doors down probably. We could clearly hear the shots. We clearly heard the first shot and heard probably almost 20 shots.
And I understand you pulled the fire alarm?
No, I actually didn't pull the fire alarm. My sub pulled the fire alarm. My teacher actually ran out of the classroom and he pulled the fire alarm while we were barricading the door.
His intention was to get attention.
Yeah, to get everyone out of the school, obviously, to get the rest of the school out. Because on the side of the shooting it happened on, there wasn't a lot of kids. There's only like three or four classes on that section. So we knew like there was another 1,000 on the whole other side of the school. So we knew a fire alarm would get them safe.
Yeah, so you have a teacher there. You're going to have more stories like that.
Sure.
And that's, personally, that's what I look for in situations like this. Yeah, these are the facts. We've got to deal with the facts. But while we spend a lot of time focusing on the bad and the evil, which is this student, we also got to take a look at the good out there and the people that step up and help out. Like Mr. Rogers says, the helpers. Look for the helpers. They give us hope.
And there are many of them, and we'll continue to get their stories, obviously, all day long here on KTR. We'll continue to update you on everything that we learn. Bob McClay has that coming up next. Mac and Gatos chat a little later today. So as the information comes out, we'll make sure to get it to you. Thank you very much to DJ Tommy Two Tone, Super Producer Stevie Z, and the aforementioned Bob McClay.